At the end of that song that we heard, it said over and over, would you lift my head and tell me again? Would you lift my head and tell me again? Would you lift my head and tell me again? We are a people that drift, are we not? We need to hear the story of God again and again. We need to hear the gospel anew every day. So the Lord be with you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would open up your word of life. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would open up our hearts to receive this word as a seed that will grow into new life, into abundant life. Be with us, we pray. Amen. A couple weeks ago, I was preaching on thirst and how we can bring all of our thirsts to Jesus. And I talked about our early warning thirst system, which was emotions. Remember this? And today we're going to be talking about some more emotions. So fast forward 15 years or so. Elsa is finally going to become queen. Unfortunately, their parents have died. You know, it's a Disney movie, so the parents always kind of need to die. It's true. So, but then the sisters get in... They get in a fight because Anna met Prince Charming, and she's in love at first sight. And Elsa's like, that's ridiculous. You just met this guy. And there becomes a fight. And, of course, Elsa's afraid and angry, and she whips up a big storm. And then she's embarrassed, and the storm gets even worse. And she plunges the whole kingdom into an eternal winter and races off up the mountain, afraid and ashamed of what she's done. And then there's this great chorus number about being free, but we'll skip that. So, of course, Anna loves her sister, and she pursues her sister up the mountain to try to get her back, to try to help. And then, of course, there's princes. And so the princes, the one main prince, and then all the other sub-princes, follow Anna up the mountain. So everyone's going up the mountain to find Elsa. And again, they meet, but what happens? Anybody know? Anna gets hurt again. And this time it pierces her in the heart. The magic has gone into her heart. She's freezing from the inside. She's dying. And what we find out from a couple trolls is that the only way... But they're cute. The only way to save her... Let me get this right. The only way to save her is through an act of true love. And this is great because Disney kind of makes fun of itself, is everyone in the movie assumes that the act of true love is what? True love's first kiss. So, of course, everyone races back down the mountain to find Anna's true love, who's the prince that she had just met and fallen in love with, right? Wrong. The prince is actually a backstabbing, throne-stealing pretender who only wants to become king by marrying Anna. He imprisons Elsa and leaves Anna to die. No. But Elsa and Anna escape, and there's all this action. And amid a terrible blizzard, they're trying to find each other. But the evil prince is finding Elsa too. He's just about to slay her. But Anna throws herself in front of the blade. And just at that point, her heart freezes altogether, and she becomes a block of frozen ice, but absorbs the sword blow, saves Elsa, but Anna is lost. She is frozen. Elsa's fears couldn't save the kingdom, and Elsa's fears couldn't save her sister. She had given into her fear, and all is lost. No, it's not the end. It's not the end. We'll get back to the end in a second. But aren't we often afraid, just like Elsa? Don't we so often give in to our fears, and it just makes things worse? We are those who are afraid. And this passage that was read for us in John, usually we think of it as the passage where Peter denies Christ. And certainly that happens, and we'll get to that. But really, it's a passage about people who are afraid of Jesus. People are afraid of Jesus. He's doing stuff that they didn't want him to do, that they didn't think he was going to do, and they're afraid of him. And how do we know they're afraid of him? Because they're trying to kill him. So they arrest Jesus. This is in verse 12 of John 18. So the soldiers, their officer, and the Jewish police arrest Jesus and bound him. And first they took him to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. And Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it was better to have one person die for the nation. This is a key verse. I want us to zero in on this. One person had to die for the nation. And thankfully, John had recorded for us exactly this whole conversation that he's alluding to right now. And so in John 11, there was this council among all the priests and the spiritual leaders of Israel. They said, we have a problem. This Jesus is like getting all the people to follow him. He's doing all these miracles. And the people are going to follow him. And something bad's going to happen. So they say, what are we accomplishing, they ask. Here is this man performing many signs, and if we let him go on like this, everyone is going to believe in him. And then the Romans will come and take away both our temple and our nation. And then one of them named Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year, spoke him and said, you don't know anything. Do you not realize that it is better for you that one man die for the people than that the whole nation should perish? Do we see what's going on there? The priests and spiritual leaders are afraid that Jesus is going to cause an uprising. And then, of course, the Romans, with all their might, are going to come and squash it because they'd already done that. There had already been revolts in Judea several times, and they'd all been squashed. And the Jewish leaders are worried that Jesus is going to incite another revolt. The Romans are going to come, and they're going to destroy the whole temple. And they're going to take the nation away. So Caiaphas says, it's better for you, it's better for me, if one person dies, and then everything else can stay the same. He's arguing for the status quo. They were afraid that Jesus was challenging and disrupting everything, and that they were going to lose their position of power. And so what they were afraid of leads them to anger. And of course, in the wise words of Yoda, fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger, anger leads to hate, and hate leads to suffering. And certainly their anger led to Jesus' suffering. And so we have the priests and the spiritual leaders who are afraid of Jesus, that he's going to challenge, that he is challenging, and he's disrupting the status quo, and their fear leads to anger, and they want to get rid of him. Let's get rid of the problem. It's better for one man to die than for everything to change. Pure pragmatism. Get rid of the guy. It will all turn to normal. And what are we afraid of? Don't we sometimes act like that toward God? Aren't we sometimes afraid that Jesus is going to call us to do something that we don't want to do? Maybe we are mad at God right now for something that he's not doing or for something he is doing in our lives. We're frustrated. Maybe we're tempted to silence Jesus' voice in our life so that we won't have to follow him further because it's getting pretty hard. It's disrupting too many things. Jesus is a bullet in the china shop of our lives. And we would rather just keep things status quo. Maybe it would be better if Jesus just went away. And then there's Peter. Peter is afraid. What is he afraid of? Just think of Peter, you know. He followed Jesus to the high priest's house, and he's outside, kind of like, you know, if Jesus was in here being interrogated, he'd be outside at the fire pit warming himself, keeping warm. Actually, he's probably being very missional, right? You know, he's hanging out with the people. He's with the people, the persecutors, with the lowly. He's keeping his ear to the ground so he can share the gospel, right? No. He's just staying warm. He's trying to keep a low profile. And while Jesus stands in front of the imposing presence of the high priest and his guards being interrogated, tortures in the air, death is a probability. Peter, however, he's being interrogated by the young little girl, the servant, maid.
Aren't you one of them?
No, no. No, he says. While the priests become angry because of what they're afraid of, Peter becomes ashamed. Becomes ashamed of Jesus because of what he's afraid of. He's not afraid of losing something like ruling over a nation. He's worried about losing his own skin. Fearing for his own life. The priests wanted to hold on to their power. Peter just wanted to hold on to his life. His fear makes him ashamed. And many times I think we become ashamed of Jesus too. Even over the littlest things, the slightest provocation, we distance ourselves from who Jesus is and what he's done for us. But the gospel for us today, the truth for us today is that for all who are angry, all who are afraid, and all who are ashamed, Christ laid down his life for you. Christ laid down his life for you. For all who are afraid, angry, or ashamed, Christ laid down his life. His life was not taken from him. This is a key point, especially in John, but in all the Gospels. Jesus' life was not taken from him. All the plots of all the people, the priests, the guards, the Romans. Jesus lays down his life. His life is not taken from him. We see this perfectly when he speaks of being the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not know the sheep. But I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen, and I will bring them too. They too will listen to my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. The reason the Father loves me is that I lay down my life. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. Jesus takes on death so that we wouldn't have to die. Jesus takes up our death so that we could have his life. Jesus' death is so that we wouldn't have to fear, so that we wouldn't have to be afraid, so that we wouldn't have to be ashamed anymore. For all those who are afraid, angry, or ashamed, Christ died for you. And in a sense, this is where Disney gets it right. Elsa's fear had been overcome by Anna's love. The selfless sister laid down her life for Elsa. And of course, according to Hollywood magic, that was the act of true love, was giving her life for her sister. It wasn't that first kiss from Prince Charming. It was loving her sister. And of course, she is brought back to life, and there's a celebration and a wedding and all this. James tells us that perfect love drives out all fear. And Christ is the one who has laid down his life as an act of love for us, to drive out the things that make us afraid. Now, oftentimes we preach about imitating Christ, about following Christ, about doing what Christ did in the world in order to extend his kingdom. But we're not going to go there today. I just want to end with this. Instead of moving into imitation, can we receive the gospel today? Can we believe that although we're afraid, angry, or ashamed, Christ laid down his life for us? Can we receive that? Can we believe that again today? That when we're afraid of Jesus, he is not afraid of us. When we're angry with Jesus, he is not angry with us. When we're ashamed of Jesus, he is not ashamed of us. And he lays down his life for us. This isn't like a real big action-oriented sermon, but it's believing. Can we believe that again? In the song that was sung earlier, I mentioned twice in the song, I think I got the words right, it says, "While I wavered, you whispered that you belong at this meal." This is Jesus speaking to us in the song. "While I wavered, you whispered that I belong." And so the gospel for us today is Christ laid down his life so that we could belong together, belong with him. So I want to take a moment of silence to end. And then after that, we'll open with prayer. And you can use these words or whatever words that you want. "When I was," or "when I am afraid of, you laid down your life for me." And then you can end with, "Praise you, Lord Jesus," and we can all answer with amen. So let us take a couple moments just to reflect. What is it that we're afraid of? Or what are we angry about? Or maybe what are we ashamed of? And let us bring those things to Christ.